By children, I mean those early elementary and under. You don't get to duck out because you feel childlike. I know. Eyes are on you, Brendan. You guys are dismissed. We're going to be in the fellowship hall today because we have no railing yet on the stairs. I suppose I should have commented. We have new carpet in the foyer, in case you didn't notice. The Lord provided for the carpet and the paint here, and then he provided excess in that amount so we could go on into the foyer also. So that was a pretty amazing story. I'll share it with anyone who wants to listen, but not right now. So amongst the process of this week happening, we got to early this week and found out we didn't have a speaker for Sunday. And first Mike looked at me and I laughed at him. No. Then he called Debbie and he said, Debbie, would you like to come share with us what's going on with PAC, what's going on with the mobile clinic, an update of what's happening? I am really excited to hear what the Lord has been doing. There's been some pretty amazing things happening with the Pregnancy Alternative Center. If you don't know, they are one of the ministries that we support very happily. And Mike and I were thrilled when we got here to find out that Scio Baptist was hand in hand with PAC in Lebanon. So that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to let Debbie take it from here. And I know she's got some activities for us.
I'm excited to be here today, and I have a lot I want to share with you, but I really feel in my heart this morning the Lord woke me up burdened for the people in Florida. And I know that we've all been on the Weather Channel or whatever you watch and know what's going on, but Deb and I, about a year ago, went and helped a center in Naples, Florida. And we spent a week there and helped the ladies and spent our lives. And so it's really hard for us to watch that. We know what's going on. We know where the ladies live. They brought us in their homes. They live right on the beach. And so the center's there. So I'm just asking you if you guys would stand up one more time and get in groups of four or five or whatever just around you. And I know that if that was our area that was happening to, we would be scared to death, right? We would be sad, scared to death. I know my sister-in-law lives right in that area also. They have been boarded up and in their closet waiting for this storm for a week. Can you imagine? She's in her clothes closet in the middle of the house with her whole family and all the pets they can fit in there. And this storm's supposed to last, 24 hours or whatever, they're really bad. So it's just so burdened that I thought, wouldn't it bless them to know that there was people in Scio, Oregon that cared enough to intercede on behalf of those people? Number one, for their lives. Number two, for their ministry, their homes, their whole way of life is going to change unless the Lord preserves them. So I just would ask that you get together. I apologize that if this is uncomfortable, but pretend your kids were there right in Naples, Florida, and you just intercede for them right now, and then I'll pray and finish it off. So, Lord Jesus, we just come to you right now, Lord. We come to you, and on behalf of our sisters and our brothers in Florida, the millions of people, those that we know and those that we don't know, and we ask for mercy, Lord. Let your mercy pour down on that state. Let the people in the ministry, the four different centers in Naples and Fort Myers and all around there, Lord, I just pray that you preserve them from the wind and the storm surge, and let them have a testimony that you went before them. I pray for Erin and her family. I pray for Janet and her family. I pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand over them. I just pray, Lord, for peace, peace right now that you have not left them or forsaken them. And we know, Lord, by faith, that you can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even imagine. And I pray that blessing over that area right now, as just even right now, Irma's coming into Naples. And so, Lord, you control the winds, you control the rain, you made the heavens and the earth, you made the sun and the moon, you made it all, God, and you can control that. So we lift you up and we praise you, we exalt you. In Jesus' name, we stand before you on behalf of our sisters and brothers. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So Deb and I are the Deb and Debbie Show. And normally I don't bring someone with me, but I did this time because the interesting part of what she had to say is the Lord blessed me with a 3-month sabbatical this year, and I came back to work. My first day work was Tuesday, and I get this email from Mike, and you know, everything inside of me wanted to say, are you kidding me? I don't even know where my office is, let alone to be able to speak in front of you. And so there's a lot I don't know. The 3 months is the bulk of the summer. And so Deb is here because she's the one that has been and will continue to be for a while in SIO. So we're going to talk about the mobile unit, but before we do that, I just wanted to bring you up on some of the fun things about PAC. So how many of you have known me or known of PAC for 30 years? How many of you been in this? Thank you very much. Wilma would raise her hand if she was here. And okay, so 30 years ago, there was a group of people that most of you don't maybe know some of them. I don't even remember all of them. But a group of people, myself included, my husband, our church, that saw the vision to be a PAC. And do you know what our vision was when we saw that 30 years ago? Was about that big compared to what God has done. And thank God that he doesn't show you the whole picture, right? We'd all be in fear and whatever that word is. Anyway, but this is the part that the Lord's kept bringing to my mind is, when we started PAC, was there people who stood up to the plate? Financially? Volunteered? Was there? Did we just, this is probably not spiritual, but I used to watch Genie, whatever that genie is, that program. Did PAC just become? No. It was a sacrifice financially. And I remember the first time that we offered a training to be part of PAC, nobody even knew what it was. And 70 people showed up. And from that point on, we never looked back. We just kept going by faith. But the part that I'm saying is there was an investment in something they felt God was doing, and a sacrifice. Now, I wish that I could bring all the babies, which are no longer babies, some of them are 29 years old, and parade them just down this area, and just let you see the number of kids, the number of human beings that have been touched because of the sacrifice of that first group of people 30 years ago. And it's continued through the years where most of you probably know about PAC and have had some involvement. This church has been a sponsor, I don't even know how many years. I've been through quite a few of your pastors. Anyway, the point of it is God calls people to sacrifice, just like Jesus sacrificed for us. Jesus paid the price for us to be where we're at. And so when I came, and I can't even remember, two, three years ago, came to you guys, you were the very, very first church that I said, I have a vision. And that vision is to serve Sayo better than we've ever served Sayo before. And at the time, I didn't know that it was a mobile clinic. I thought it was going to be a brick and mortar office. But the Lord, I don't know if it gives you chills like it gives me chills, but do you ever drive by here on Wednesdays and see that mobile unit and go, oh my goodness? The Lord has been amazingly faithful through the years. I wish I could walk in the faith that the Lord has been faithful. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wish I wouldn't have doubts. Why do, when we see the Lord perform or see the Lord give us blessings, why do we still doubt when the unknown comes? It's a human thing, you know, and I have to keep saying, Lord, you have always, for 30 years, been faithful. The people that invested in something we'd never seen, we were the first pregnancy center in the whole valley. Nobody knew what a pregnancy center was. I didn't know what a pregnancy center was. In fact, kind of an interesting fact, I did not know there were pregnancy centers in the rest of the country. I did not find out there's a pregnancy center organization and do it. God called PAC out of a burden for the youth in our church. That's because I was infertile and unable to have children, and we were youth pastors in our church. We would cry over the kids that would come and say, did you hear so-and-so had an abortion? Did you hear so-and-so's pregnant? And I'd go, stop, please stop, please. We would take your baby. Don't kill your baby. So PAC started from that. And then we were 3 years in business before I found out there's things like this all over the country. Anyway, do you know who started the pregnancy center movement? Just a man you probably never heard of named Billy Graham. Interesting, huh? Out of a burden the Lord gave him to speak truth to what millions of people? No. The pregnancy centers movement or PAC, we never had a vision to reach millions of people. If you would have told me back then, I worked for Oregon State University in the Human Resources Department. If you would have told me I'd be here 30 years later, I would have turned around and walked away. I'm pretty sure Billy Graham would have said the same thing because he paid the price also. But what it was designed for was one-on-one, one-on-one. One-on-one. Let me just talk to you. Let me just talk to you. Let me be where you're at. Let me be real to you. Let me tell you the truth without a political agenda. Let me stand beside you. Let me help you know that there is a way out. God always provides a way out. And if you don't know who God is, then let me introduce you to God. And over the years, the Lord has met women right where they're at, right where they're at. I remember many times telling a woman, before you decide to have an abortion, when you wake up in the morning and you're before you're out of bed, just ask God for the answer. Because I believe in a God big enough that he'll give her the answer. And she'd say, I don't know how to do that. Well, God does. All you have to do is ask. And many, many, many women have come to the Lord through that process. Because why? People invested, God is big, and he is faithful. So I just wanted to say, we're not done. One of the things that we're going to talk about is, we don't have enough people for SIO, for that mobile unit. We need ladies to be out there. It's 4 hours a week, and you could got enough ladies, you could do 4 hours a month. We have one lady. So I am saying to you, please go to the Lord and say, am I one that's going to invest today for what's going to happen tomorrow? That's where we are at. The mobile unit is phenomenal. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But church, we need to rise up. We need to say, yes, I can invest 4 hours. Now, once you say yes, you'll be willing to invest 4 hours, however much time the Lord leads you to do, then we just let you go and you're all by yourself and you have to figure it out and you're scared to death. And this person.
No, we don't.
You have a, wait, she can't get a word. Where's the other mic? Oh.
Can you all hear me?
No, you have to do it.
This,
you have
one?
To do power. Hold on.
Two
oh, down here.
On.
Wendy, come here.
She tried it before.
Is that on the
that
bottom?
One's on.
Okay, now do that switch right there.
Okay. All right.
Will a light come on this one?
No.
Check, 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 check.
Oh, it's on.
Check.
Anyway,
we were waiting for the light.
So Deb will teach you what to do. Now, let me just say this. Will it mean you're not scared? Let me tell you something. If I could do this in reality, and I could bring a woman who we worked with last week, who's considering abortion, and if I could do this, I never could, but you understand, and I could bring her and stand her right here and say, could you talk to her about what she's doing? Would you be scared?
No.
You wouldn't. Would you please get her name and phone number?
I have the application in my car. I'll fill it out.
Way to go, girl. It's scary to know that what words come out of your mouth could influence a person one way or the other. It is scary. But you know what? Why you do it and why, what happens? Has anybody ever witnessed to a person about Jesus Christ? Have you ever opened your mouth and talked about God to someone else? Anybody? Okay, good. Thank you. I was a little bit worried there. Was it a little bit intimidating? It is. But what happened when you open your mouth? The Spirit of God gives you words. And pretty soon you're going, whoa, I didn't even know I had that in there. It's not you, it's God. Who's saving those babies? Me, Deb, or God?
God.
And that's the part you can't ever forget. So anyway, okay, where was I? You're supposed to be talking. Okay, I'll try to be quiet. Okay, so how's the mobile unit doing, Deb?
It's doing great. I just want you to know that we, besides Sio, we go to Brownsville and Halsey, we go to Jefferson, and we go to Sweet Home. Sweet Home has a pregnancy center, but we offer them ultrasounds that they've never had before, and the kids wouldn't have come because they don't have rides down to Lebanon, so it's very hard for them to get ultrasounds. So everything is working wonderfully. Did we think we would have patients in our first month? No. Mm-hmm. Second? We thought maybe 4 or 5 months out we might get our first patient. Sio was the first area to get, in our second week out, we had 2 patients. Praise God.
And that's
provision.
When we were parked where they, in the bad spot.
We don't call it the bad spot, it's the exposed spot.
The exposed spot, that's even worse.
So each one of our each one of our areas has seen a patient with the exception of Halsey and Brownsville. And it is a very rural area where we're at. So we're praying that with school starting now and where we're parked, that the 2 hours that we spend in Halsey and the 2 hours we spend in Brownsville will bring our first patient. But it's God's timing. It's not ours. And when he does, he's just going to bring a flood. We believe in the harvest of this mobile clinic. This mobile clinic, we have people stopping by wanting to walk through it, so we know the word of mouth is going out there. But again, each of these areas, we need volunteers. I am the clinic manager for PAC, and I am your mobile unit advocate on Tuesdays and Wednesdays here
so
in Sio.
She's
in
saying she's
Halsey.
Never at PAC.
So I'm never
doing
at
job.
PAC doing my job there, but you know what? That's okay because God reminds me all the time, you're where you're supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be, and I believe that. And just like I believe in PAC, I believe we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And just a little note about Sio. One of our people got a patient in Sio and in the clinic, and she was going through things, and she said, "Do you know that we have a mobile unit in Sio?" And she goes, "Yes, I do, but I came here," and Debbie's about ready to tell you why.
Yes. So after every patient comes into PAC, we have them fill out an exit survey or a patient satisfaction survey. You can see how long and involved, how many questions there is. So I can't wait. Hold on. This has patient information. Okay, there.
Thank you.
Wendy, can you look at the number of questions here?
say yes?
Yes.
I can.
And can you see there, it's a 1 to 5 scale, yes. 1 being poor, 5 being excellent. Yes.
You have all fives.
All five. So this girl, when she came in from SIO, and she rated her services, that we like ask everything under the sun. How was Deb? How was the nurse? How was the environment? How was what we said? We got a 5. Now this is what, and I have more to say about this one, but let me explain this to you. We do that with every single patient that comes into PAC, bar none. And guess what our rating overall is? Anybody want to take a guess? 99.9 out of the mouth of the patients who come to us. So why do you think that is? The 0.10%. Well, the reason we got bad from one of them is she was tweaked on methamphetamine, and she demanded things we would not give her, so we had to call the police and have her taken away. So she didn't give us a very high rating. but that's okay, all right? Anyway, no kidding. Well, she was out of it, totally out of control. It's because God meets them there. God meets their fears and everything else. I wish I could say that 99.9% of them didn't have abortions, but that's not true. Because there are some women who, no matter how much they don't want to have abortion, feel their circumstances that they're under, overwhelming circumstances. They cannot make the decision to not have an abortion. And so we have an amazing rating, and that is right at about 92% choose life after they've come in to see us. But I wish it was 99.9, don't you, Deb? So back to my SIO girl. Then you turn the page, and it's where she can fill in the whatever, and would you recommend somebody? Yes. Would you return? Yes. But there's a comment section. And under the comment, she said, move the van in SIO. So this is the kind of information that we take and say, oh, what was wrong with it? What was wrong with it?
So that's when I said, when I saw this, I said, I was in the clinic. It was my day off. And I said, you know, I'm going to SIO. So I took this with me. I went down to where we were parked. I talked to our RDMS on board, which is a sonographer, and I said, we need to take a trip down here to SIO Baptist. We need to go see Mike and Wendy. So we came down here. BBS was in full force. But we were so blessed to see Mike and get to talk to Wendy. So Wendy had, when I explained this to her, and she had said that she had heard comments from all of you too about where it was parked. So this is how important it is for us to provide confidentiality, exposure, and exposure at the same time. I came and talked to Wendy. I said, is it okay with you that starting next week, I wanted to start that day, but it was a little late. Starting next week, may we come and park here? And she gave me 2 options. We chose the front parking lot, of course. It's been wonderful. We moved a little bit closer to the street now, and when I was here on Tuesday, I was blessed to observe the kids going to get lunch, coming back, but a lot of them were glancing over saying, "What's look over there, what's in the parking lot?" So word of mouth is getting back to the ones that we need to reach. Now, we're not just here for those high school kids. We're here for people that have already had 6 kids. We're here for the second child. We're here for the 35-year-old, and this is her first child. We're not just here for the kids that we're trying to reach. We are here trying to say, look, we're bringing our brick and mortar in a mobile size form to you here. And we want to serve you here where you don't have to travel to Lebanon, and maybe you don't have a car to travel to Lebanon. We can give you that pregnancy test, and we can give our patients that first ultrasound. So that's, and we hope we're in a place where everyone is exposed and can see it. And we appreciate word of mouth out there too.
So let me ask you, how many of you could guess what the biggest barrier to coming to SIO was, is, and was? It's the biggest thing we've, from day one, wondered how that would work. Can you say that really loud? It's a small town. Confidentiality is almost impossible to try and keep. So we have to find a place to park that van where people know where we're at, but they can get to us without you knowing. So on the other side of that, so keep praying. I'm not saying that's the ultimate place. We keep waiting. Here's what we need from you guys. Number one, I pray that a girl is going to come in your sphere of influence that needs our services, and you'll be able to refer her. Because a personal referral is hands down the best thing that could ever have. But that puts you in a position of what? Knowing something that you have to keep quiet about. Because she will never, this community, if these girls get to know that they confided in you and you, and then somebody found out, because it, gossip spreads like wildfire in little communities. If she finds that out, we might as well close the doors. Do you understand? So confidentiality and the ability for the girls to get help is what we're coming up against. Now, this is the thing that it's really hard to imagine in a small community. How many abortion clinics do you have in SIO? Zero. Where can they get an abortion? Albany? Salem? Where else? Where do most girls go? Not Corvallis. Portland. Lovejoy Surgery Center. Right? There's also a 2 or 3 year old abortion clinic in Springfield, a 40,000 square foot building dedicated to abortions. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's really heavy right now, really heavy on my heart. So, in the state of Oregon this summer, about 2 or 3 weeks after I went on sabbatical, something happened in our state. What is it? A bill passed under the radar, not under the radar, but in a sneaky, yucky political way, because we have an organization, let me take a little bit of diversion here. Because Oregon is the most liberal state in America, and because we have had to fight for our existence for so long, from 2007 on, we, you know, whenever there's opposition, what rises up is unity on the other side. You understand that. What's going to happen in Florida with that hurricane is going to be unbelievable. What happened in Houston? Unity, right? And I just love the way God, anyway, whatever was going back on back east before Houston, how God brought, no, wait a second, the heart of America is right here. But the heart of opposition was pregnancy centers in Oregon rose up and became united. Even though we're not all of the same organization, we started an organization called Oregon Pregnancy Center Association. And the reason we did that was to fight bills. So we actually have a lobbyist. We have people that are watching for him. So from January of this year through when I left May 31st, we were on it. Okay? I left. They were closing. The legislature was over. And I was out of email contact for about a month, and so I could not believe it when I came back. Absolutely makes me sick to my stomach. A law that has already been passed and signed by the governor that any woman can have a free abortion. The end. A free abortion. So I can tell you, after 30 years of working with women, one of the things that's hard for them in the abortion arena is what? The cost. How much does a late-term abortion cost? Do you know, Tom? About $1,200. So if I'm a 14-year-old girl, and I don't want to believe I'm pregnant, so I don't pay attention to the signs, and I go to where I'm 7 months pregnant, and then it's I'm starting to show and whatever, and I'm going to get an abortion. Where am I going to get that $1,200? Well, it's completely free anywhere in the state to anybody, whether you have insurance or you don't. They're making the insurance companies pay for it if you have insurance. Oregon Health Plan, IHN will pay for it. But if you don't have insurance, you still can get a free abortion. The one thing that we don't know is whether you have to prove Oregon citizenship. Now, this is important to make note of. So this will be tried out in the courts, but let's just say that I live in Maryland or Texas, where abortion is not the same, and I decide I'm going to go on vacation for a weekend, and I'm going to come to Oregon and get my free abortion. Oh, I'm going to have a wonderful time. It'll be great. I'll stay in a really nice hotel, and I'll get my nails done and my toenails done, and I'll just, it because abortion is sold like it's a no big deal thing. Abortion is sold like you just pop this pill, you maybe have a little bit of cramping, that's it, and then you just go on. There's a book by a name of a lady, Abby Johnson. Does anybody know who Abby Johnson is? Do you know who Abby Johnson is? Really? Seriously? Have you read her book, Unplanned? Okay, I want you to just see how big God is. Abby Johnson's going to be here in 2 weeks speaking at PAC. If you have a heart to hear about the truth about abortion, come. Let me know you want to come, and come. You better be there, you and Mike. We're having a pastor's luncheon, but this is so big that anybody wants to hear Abby Johnson, I want you to come. She was the executive director of the most profitable Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in the nation. She was that for a long time, and the Lord sovereignly saved her. And she wrote a book called Unplanned, and she talks about her chemical abortion, her surgical abortion, and what the abortion industry is really like. See, this is the reason that abortion doesn't make you ill to your stomach, because we are all so nice. We as people are also nice Christian people that we don't even know how to play dirty. We don't know how bad the other side is, and Abby exposed them. Anyway, where was I going with all that? Legislation. So anyway, they passed this bill where we don't know that that wouldn't happen, where we would get people come to Oregon for their free abortion, and who knows what our numbers are going to do. Here's a question. I've said this before to you, so I'm going to see if you listened. Is abortion increasing or decreasing in Oregon? Good job. How about United States? Decreasing. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers right now, but give or take, abortion is decreasing about 10 to 15% in America. Does that seem like that's, wouldn't you say, no, it's increasing. No, it's decreasing. How about the state of Oregon, the most liberal place in America, decreasing about 20%, 25%, somewhere in there? I'll give you an example. 30 years ago when we started, there was 14,000-something abortions in Oregon. Now there's right around 9,000. That gives you an example. Wait a second. How is that happening? That's not what the media tells us. And then let's just talk about Linn County. Are we increasing or decreasing? It's not a hard question. About 40%. Wow. We are winning this fight. So what in the world is a free abortion going to do for a girl who says, oh, I don't have enough money? Boom, she gets an abortion. Boom, chemical. Do you know she can go into any pharmacy? Do you have a pharmacy? Can you pick up medications in Sio? No? You have to do it somewhere else. She can go into any pharmacy, and by law, they have to give her the chemical RU46. No.
You haven't had to have a prescription for that for a long time. They made them. They made the pharmacists take it out from the back and place it.
Put it on their, like, where the candy drawer is.
Right in front. And so you still can't get Sudafed, but mm-hmm. you can get.
Are you 46?
Are you 46?
And the morning after, which is two different things, just for your information. So something happened this summer to us, my friends, in the state of Oregon that is black and dirty and yucky and dark and satanic, and it's terrible. And how many of you, when you saw that, or how many of you even knew it was coming? We didn't even know it was coming. They got it in a bill somehow. I don't know how all that politics works, but they got it introduced in a bill. It was hidden. They didn't use the word abortion, so all of the search finders for keeping track of those thousands of bills didn't catch it. And it was done and passed before anybody knew what was going on. How many of you, when you heard about it, understood the impact of what it has for Oregon? So how many of us went, what do we do? What do I do? I did. I went through the stages of grief. Anger, spitting mad on my sabbatical, spitting mad. Because we did everything we could. We did everything we could. And we sacrificed and we watched and we did all this stuff. And then I went through the stage of sorrow. Because in reality, what we're doing is disrespecting women, not helping them. I know women who've had abortion. I know women who've thought about having an abortion. I have known women who parented in really hard situations. And let me tell you, hands down, the ones that chose to not have the abortion have an easier time. Not that everybody's not forgiven, not that there's not healing, not that there's not all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't go away, that abortion. It doesn't go away. And we've just opened our arms and said, come on, women, let us ruin your life. And not only that, we'll pay for it. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but we worked with a woman who was 8.5 months pregnant one time. She was deaf, had an interpreter. We were working with her, and she had bipolar disorder, and she went through a down. And one weekend, she went through a down, and she threw caution to the wind and said, no, I can't do this pregnancy. Took her Visa credit card, went to the abortion clinic, and had an abortion at 8.5 months pregnant. And showed up on our doorstep Monday morning sobbing, I made a mistake. And we bawled with that woman. We bawled and helped her every way we could. And 6 months later, she committed suicide. And the reason is this. What did she get in the mail every month as a reminder of what she did? That Visa credit card bill every month, to where she finally couldn't handle it anymore. That's what we're inviting in our state. I hope that I have touched your heart, because this is what we have to do. We have to, just like what we did for Florida, intercede for our state. Intercede for the women that are deceived. Intercede for the women whose hearts are so scared to death that they can't figure out what to do. And here's the deal about the mobile unit. Is God's timing perfect? Those women are in Scio too, I promise. Those women are in Jefferson. We have a vision, if we could ever get enough people to volunteer and enough money to run it, we have a vision to take that to Oregon State University, Lynn Benton Community College, every football game on Friday night. Even if they don't come in and get services, they'll know that there's an alternative place. The biggest battle of getting those girls in is letting them know there's a different place to go than Planned Parenthood. Because Planned Parenthood has been amazing in their marketing strategy. Did you know that you can go there and you can get all these services? Did you know that? Do they really get those services? No. They don't even do mammograms. But marketing-wise, you would think that they do. You can come in. We're a women's health center. We do all these different things. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But it's time, my friends, just like people 30 years ago said, use me, here am I, use me. They sacrificed for a vision, a hope. I can name the ones like Wilma, the ones through the ages who, even though Wilma didn't, she sent money every month for I don't even know how many years. And I'm not sure, you guys probably know, but I don't think Wilma had tons of money, but I don't know. But she sent money every month. And what I was thinking, when she went to heaven, I was thinking the Lord must have just, first of all, she was dancing again. And second of all, she knew what needed to happen, and she said yes. Now, what did Jesus do when he met her that first second? Well done. Good and faithful servant. I don't know if it was easy for Wilma and the other people to send that money. I don't know. That's between you and God. But honestly and truthfully, we can't do the mobile unit unless it's funded. We pay one person's salary, and that's the RDMS. That's the person that does the ultrasound, the medical person. Everybody else on there, the drivers that you see, are men who have stood up. Who comes to SIO with you? John. John Meyer. If you ever come and we don't have clients there, go say hi to John Meyer. John and Ruth are retired pastors from the Lutheran church somewhere. Anyway, he drives every Wednesday, comes to SIO, sits in your area, and does a Bible study with the girls there. It's a sacrifice. He invests in the hope that one girl will change her mind in SIO. I got it really heavy, and I'm really sorry. We work, Deb and I, in a heavy job. We don't go to work every day and balance a checkbook or whatever people in normal jobs do. We go and fight for someone's life. Last week, we had two babies come to parenting class. Do you know how amazing a newborn baby smells? Oh, and they make these movements that look totally stupid on an adult, but they are so cute on a baby. I should show them that picture I showed you, huh? And they came to parenting class because we do what Titus says, and the older women teach the younger women how to be moms. And anyway, they came in to my office. They brought them into my office just so I could touch them. Because that's the fringe benefit of my job. Because we fight and fight and fight and fight, and sometimes you forget that there's a prize at the end of that fight. So one day, just before I went on sabbatical, wait a second, I have to go all the way through my Hawaii pictures. Hold on just a second. I had a really good sabbatical. Hold on. Wait, it's coming. Oh, I'm at the zoo now. Oh, goodness. It's worth waiting for, trust me. Here we go. You probably can't see that. This front row, this is the benefits of the front row. This little girl came in to pack to a parenting class, and they brought her in to me. And she's just a doll. Her life was saved from abortion through PAC. And they put her on my couch, and they took, watch this, whoops, tons and tons and tons of this little girl playing. You see that? And I just stood there and went, you know, my friends, it's worth every cent. It's worth every prayer. If you're not on our prayer list, shame on you. Get on our prayer list. Because it's us praying that this happens. This little girl happens. And I could go on and on. The benefits of what we do make a difference in how many lives? That baby's, her mama's, her grandma's, right? I don't know if I've told you this story before, but we have a Walk for Life. Almost every year, I think it's every year, but I want to be careful because I'm not positive, because we've done the walks a long time. We have walked, and I knew someone who was there, and knew the week after their teenage son or daughter were in our office. They never knew that they came in. And I wished then I could say in an anonymous way, do you know you just walked in the Walk for Life to provide a service for your son or your daughter or your son's friend or your son's daughter's friend or whoever, and they knew about it? And they came in, and we were available because somebody invested. I'll tell you one last story, and then I'll be quiet. My husband and I grew up, I know this is bad, you're going to hate me forever, but in Southern California. I'm really sorry. But on my positive side of that, we left at 20, and we've been here 38 years. So at some point, I got to not be a Southern Californian. But anyway, we went to a church there. We were really active in the youth group, and we had a pastor, youth pastor. Like, do you guys have a youth pastor? Okay. Well, anyway, I guess you'll have to be this person. So this man in our life, his name was Gary Ivey, and his wife's name was Kathy. And they had a direct influence on our life. I don't know if you guys understand, but your youth need a person to look up to and to talk to and to whatever. And it ended up when Chris and I got married that Gary married us. And we moved up here 2 weeks after we got married, and the end of the story. Well, about 10 years later, Gary and Kathy moved up to Dallas, Oregon, pastored a church in Dallas, Oregon. And they just retired, and they had their 50th wedding anniversary. I don't know how we got this old, but it just happened. And so we went to their 50th wedding anniversary. Now, the fun part of the story is, when Gary had 3 kids and when Tim was 17, he got a girl pregnant. It happens to pastors and their wives. It does. And he was going to have an abortion, not tell his parents, because there's no way that he could tell his parents and tell the church and come back into church. And praise God, he had enough strength to call me. And Tim called me, and I said, get in here. And a long story short, we talked and talked, and finally got, after weeks of talking and weeks of him bawling his eyes out, Debbie, I can't tell my mom and dad. I can't tell the church. There's no way. They'll kick us out. I can't do this to my family. He agreed to tell his parents to come into PAC. Now, this is my friend. Did I happen to mention? Do you remember? This is my youth pastor that's grown up. I've grown up. Anyway, the miracle is they didn't have an abortion. His girlfriend didn't have an abortion. And Gary went back and told his congregation. They made it public, and they had an elders meeting to decide if they would kick him out. Now, I'm sorry, but there's not one of us that hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And isn't the church the place that should embrace us when we sin and give us direction and restoration? Well, anyway, they didn't kick Gary out. And Tim was recruited. It was in his senior year, and he was recruited to a professional, I forgot how this works, but baseball. He was a baseball player, and he was going to a college, and then it goes into something and whatever. He had high hopes. Anyway, Cody was born, and the end of that story. So we went back to this 50th wedding anniversary, and Gary and Kathy were there, and Tim was there, and Cody was there. He's 25 years old now. And his kids were there. And they all stood up. I'll show you a picture of them. They all stood up, and we took this picture of all their kids and the generations. And I started bawling. Do you realize what one decision in a flash of time influences the rest of your life? And I was like, oh my gosh, God. Oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Cody. Thank you for what it did to Tim. Thank you for what it did to Gary and Kathy. Thank you, Lord, for the people that invested in PAC 26 years ago so that when Tim came to me, there was a place to go. I'm just saying, I've been doing this 30 years. It's time for me to retire. And you know what God said to me on sabbatical? I may be here till I'm 95. I'm not sure. I don't know. Who's going to be the next generation that takes our place, me and Deb? Who's going to be the next generation that works on the mobile unit? Who's going to be the next generation that fights Planned Parenthood? Who's going to be the next Abby Johnson who comes out of the muck and changes her world? Let's pray. Lord God, first of all, I want to just celebrate. Celebrate for the lives who have been changed. Celebrate for the women whose lives have been changed. Celebrate for the children who live and breathe today because of somebody that sacrificed to tell their mommies the truth. I just want to celebrate. I want to celebrate the mobile unit. I want to celebrate that this church years ago invested in something that made a difference. I want to celebrate for the people that you're calling. I want to celebrate, Lord, that whenever adversity comes, unity comes in a stronger force. So, Lord, we pray in with everything in me, Lord, I pray this bill is killed. I pray, Lord, that Oregon doesn't become the vacation abortion capital of the world. I pray, Lord, for the girls who will choose abortion unless you somehow bring them into someone who will tell them the truth. Lord, I come against the finances of this. I pray, Lord, that the $500,000 they've set aside for the free abortions to people who don't have insurance, I pray, Lord, that it will be needed somewhere else. I pray even stronger, Lord, that for this day and this time you have called us. This is our turn. This is our turn to stand up and say, I'm going to invest. I'm going to say yes, God. I'm going to put my foot out and say, I'm scared to death, but I'll do it. I'm going to say, Lord, let the church arise in Scio and Jefferson and Brownsville and Halsey and Lebanon and Sweet Home. Let the church arise. Let the men who understand this issue be outraged. Let them be mentors to the kids who are so confused. For the Tims out there, that the cost was huge. He sacrificed his baseball career for the life of his son. Lord, there's a lot of those guys out there. Let them come in contact with someone who will show them the light. I pray blessing and favor on this church. Let this church be a beacon. Let it be a beacon. Give Mike and Wendy the strength to reach this community, the strength to be a testimony, the open doors, God. Let doors open. Refresh Mike this weekend. Refresh those men. Because there is a battle that we have that we better get ready for. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope that what you heard was a cry to action. I think it's time for us to get up and get dirty. And that is really what this table is about. The gospel is messy. And you guys can do things that I cannot. I can go out in the community, but out in the community, I'm the Baptist pastor's wife. And there's things that I'm expected to say and ways that I'm expected to act because that's who I am. And that's fine. I know that. But you have open doors and you have opportunities that I don't have. There are doors that are closed to me because of who I am. There are people who don't want to be honest with me and talk to me because they think there's a shame associated with it because I'm the pastor's wife. You can go where I can't go. And Mike and I are so ready and willing to help you. You get where you're like, I don't know what to say. Call us. We can help you. But you're the ones with the relationships with your neighbors that are going to make a difference. I have four teenagers. Most of you know that. The decision to use your body wisely in our culture today makes you weird and it makes you lonely. And I think if you talk to any of our kids who are trying to live a godly and just a plain smart lifestyle, it is so against the culture that they're in. They feel alone and they feel weird. And they need us to come alongside them and say, it's worth it. We need to acknowledge this is not easy. They need us to walk against culture with them. The only way that we are going to change the culture of SIO is if we get out there and do it. If we get out there and let people know, we will walk through the dirt with you. You don't have to clean up to come in here. One of the things that Mike does that I find hilariously funny, and he does it completely on purpose, he preaches in shorts all summer. And it's very purposeful. We make sure every spring that Mike has nice shorts. He has preaching shorts, if you did not know. There are not preaching shorts, and there are preaching shorts, because I'm like, you can't just wear ratty shorts. I mean, they have to at least be nice shorts. I mean, I grew up in the church. This is my home culture, so can we just, like, hold on to a little bit of it to make me comfortable? He does that so when people come in the door, they can feel comfortable with what they're wearing. We want this to be a place where you can bring your neighbors in. You can bring your friends in. I can go out on Tuesday, and I can sit by the mobile clinic, and it's expected that I would be out there because I'm the pastor's wife. So I would be out there. But if one of you are out there, if someone they know that's not, it's not their job to be there, that's powerful. The gospel's messy. It's for messy people. It's for broken people. And it's time for us to go out and bring the broken in. It's time for us to be willing to admit that we're broken. That we're not perfect. We need to be approachable. When I was about 12 years old, which I know is really little, it didn't seem so little when I was 12, but it really is. I remember the Spirit of God, one of the first things he said to me as I began to grow out of childhood and into adulthood in my relationship with the Lord, he said, you have to stop letting people think you're perfect. I was the oldest daughter of the pastor, the only daughter of the pastor, and the oldest. So that even made me double better because I was obviously better than my younger brothers. I mean, duh. And I was the princess on top of that, and I was the firstborn. And if you know firstborns, they really like rules, and they like to follow the rules, and when you follow the rules, it makes you look really good. And I was really, really good at looking good. But I wasn't honest. And I will never forget the Spirit telling me, you have to let it go. Who wants to talk to a perfect person? Who wants to go and say, hey, I'm really hurting here, to somebody who's perfect? I don't. I want someone who's going to understand what I'm going through, or at least can understand imperfection. And I think as a church body, we have to be willing to let the world know we hurt. We have to be willing to let them know that we make mistakes, and that's what the cross is about. The cross is about mistakes. Christ came into our dirt to show us how to get out. And we need to be willing to go into the dirt, into the sin, into the horror, into the confusion that our friends and our loved ones are in, and show them the way out. That's why Christ came. He came and he said, this is for you. My body, it's for you. He wasn't bored in heaven and just didn't have anything to do, so I'm going to go down to earth and die. It was for us, And not just us. It wasn't for us to keep to ourselves. It was for us to share. If we weren't here to let other people know about what Christ has done for us, then he'd take us home. He chose to use us, as broken as we are. So I hope that what you're hearing through Debbie, and through PAC's ministry, is it's time to get down and it's time to get dirty. In Sio. It's time to start reaching out to our neighbors. It's time to letting them know, I'm not perfect. And please, I will walk through whatever you need me to walk through. For 4 years, I've had a child in the high school, and I'll have a child for another 6 years in the high school. I have one in the junior high. These kids are broken, and they've been lied to, horrifically, horrifically lied to. And the lies that they're being told will affect the rest of their lives. We've got to get in there, and we've got to start speaking truth. But for them to hear it, we have to be there. So whether that is with PAC, whether that is on Sunday mornings, whether it's bringing your neighbors to our kids' programs on Wednesday nights, whether it's our women's ministries, our men's ministries, I encourage you, get out there and get dirty with the people around you. Don't hold yourself back. Will it hurt? Yes. I will tell you, it will absolutely hurt. It is easier to not walk through somebody's pain with them than to feel it with them. But that's what Christ did for us. He came and he walked through life with us all the way to the cross. And that's what this table is. It's what he left us to remind us that he came for us. And he paid the ultimate price for us to get us out of sin, to get us out of the muck. And now our responsibility, now that he has redeemed us, is to help others find the same redemption. So my encouragement to you, my prayer, our prayer, Mike and I's prayer for you as our church, is that you would begin to reach out to those around them. You get stuck, we'll help you. We actually went to school for that. Like we trained for it. But our training does us no good if there's no people. And my answer to the law, oh man, I don't want to get on that. I can't stand it. Okay, my answer to that is if there's no girls who want to visit, it doesn't matter what the law says. And if there's no doctors who will participate, it doesn't matter what the law says. The law doesn't stop us if the people change. And the key to that change is our relationship with Christ and then our relationship with others. So this is one of those awkward moments because all the men are gone. So I'm going to go over to the piano and I'm going to sing a song. I invite you to the table. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? I guarantee you his answer is a lot closer than you think it is. Now, some of you, it might be a major... He wants you to chunk out 4 hours of your time in whichever city that's needed with PAC. Some of you, he may want you to go knock on the door next door. He may want you to be willing just to speak when he tells you to speak. Be open. He's got amazing, and like Debbie said, what he's got planned is, it would blow your mind. And if he showed us at all, we'd be in cuddled up under the pews saying, no, not me, take me home now. So he doesn't show us all at once. One step at a time. Knock on the door. Extend the invitation. Tell your story. And tell how God's power has redeemed you. And that redemption is open to anybody who is willing to come to Christ and submit to him.